Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning. Please help yourself to coffee. It's generally sponsored by Zecha Nishmas Alter Shlomo Ben Pinchas. We're very grateful to our anonymous sponsor. Today's a big day because we are going to finish the 20th chapter of Mesillas Yesharim that we have been learning for a long time. It's the Mishkal HaChassidus. The Ramchal Ramesh Chaim Lutzato has been reminding us that to be a true chassid, to be a real chassid, is not about what makes us feel good, that we're pious or righteous. It's not a matter of trying to look good or seem holier or higher than anyone else, but rather it's the mishkal. It's evaluating. It's constantly balancing. It's constantly asking ourselves, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want, and are we giving him nachas ruach? So the Ramchal writes, "Nimtzeis lama shabal lehis chaseid chasidus amiti." So it comes out from everything we've said, and it's been a long parak, and we spent a long time. What emerges is that a person who wants to be what he calls a chasid amiti. It's very interesting. Rav Dan Segal in his commentary on Mesillas Yesharim points out this word amiti. What do you mean? Isn't it redundant if you're a chassid, if you're righteous and pious? What does it mean to be a chassid amiti? What does it mean to be genuinely or authentically a righteous chassid? So he says one can be an imaginary chassid and one can be a real chassid. Sometimes we think we're righteous in our own mind. Sometimes we have imagination. Sometimes we've drawn up an image of what a righteous person looks like, but it doesn't match the will or the vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what Hashem wants us to do. Our aspiration, our goal, our drive is not to be a chassid, is not to be righteous in a way that makes us feel more religious, that makes us feel better about ourselves or better than anyone else, but our goal is to be a chassid amiti, genuine and real. Tzarech sheyishkol al kol mishka al ma'aseiv lefi ha'toldos v'mishachos mehem, to constantly have a conscientiousness, a consciousness, an awareness, a mindfulness of what we're doing, not only in that moment, but what is the consequence, what is its impact, intended and unintended. The circumstances that will depend on the time, where we are, when we are, with whom we are, it's not always going to be the exact same answer. It depends where you live, depends what you're doing, it depends who you are, it depends the people around us are. When you add that all up, it will determine what we're meant to do in that moment. But there is no catch-all. There is no generic what's the righteous thing to do. What's righteous for one is entirely unrighteous for the other. What's pious for one person in that moment, that circumstance, that time with those people, for someone else, is entirely the wrong decision. So it takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness, self-reflection, consulting with others, in order to know what to do. He points out of Dan Segal in a footnote, he says, like the Gemara in Sota says, Hechi dami chassid shota. For example, what's a chassid shota? You could have somebody who thinks they're a chassid, they think they're righteous, but they're really a huge shota. Kegon de tava isisa b'nahara. Because imagine a woman is drowning in the river. She's flailing her arms, she's screaming and calling for help, and you're standing on the bank of the river, and you see and hear her screams, and what do you say? You say, it's almost Rosh Hashanah, she's kind of pretty. I don't know, if I jump in and save her, I'm going to have to grab her or hold her, and that's not going to be good for my neshama. So you're standing there trying to chaz a Mesillas Yesharim in your head. You're standing there, you're thinking you're going to call a posek, ask a shaila, am I allowed to go save her life? I'm going to have to touch her, I'm going to have to look at her. What will people see? What will people think? How will this impact my kid's shidduchim? It's going to be on my mind later today. The Gemara says you're a chassid shaita. What's the matter with you? Somebody's dying. Someone's drowning. A life lays in the balance. And you think it's a chassidus. You think it's righteous to stand and evaluate? The Gemara gives us, Tosfos there gives a second, Hevi'ah Yerushalmi. Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi that gives a second example of a chassid shota. Ra tinok meva'aveya benahar. Amalech she'ech lo tefillin atzilanu. So you're davening next to the river. You wear tefillin all day long. The time of the Gemara they did, in some places still today. So you say, you see a young child drowning in the Chas v'shalom in one of the lakes, and you say, you know what? Let me take my tefillin off, my talus. Let me get undressed, take my tzitzis off. I still have to do the daf. There's a child drowning in the pool, drowning in the lake. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. And you're going to say, but my tefillin, but my tcheles. You know what they cost tcheles? But I have to do the daf first. Yechasad shaita. These are extreme examples, but they are examples of somebody who's misguided and miscalculated, who even with the most noble intention and thinks what they're doing in the moment is right or righteous, but they're a shaita, they're a fool. V'mifrisha, back to the Mesillas Yesharim. V'mifrisha told Yosef, Kiddushim Shemayim Nachas Ruach L'mam Demasov, Yifrash V'lo Yasa. So sometimes if it'll give greater Nachas Ruach to not do, then that's what you should do. In Masa Echem Mariso Tova Toldosov of Tanavu Ra, or Maisa Acher Rabbi Mariso Tova Toldosov, Akol Alicha Acher Achitum Atolada. Something can look exceptionally righteous or religious in the moment, but down the road, its impact will be terribly negative and destructive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care what you look like in that moment. What he cares about is the bigger picture, the bigger scheme. He cares about what's going to happen down the road. She pri hamasim be'emes. Sometimes something can feel truly righteous in the moment. You're going to give mussar, somebody did something wrong. So you're going to yell at them, embarrass them, shame them in front of a crowd. You're going to feel good. I spoke up, I spoke back, I pushed back. The person you pushed off the derech. The person will never recover. Will never recover religiously from that experience of how they were spoken to, how they were shamed, how they were embarrassed. So maybe in that moment you feel all holy and righteous, holier than thou. You stood up, you made a mecha. You chasid shaita. You have to look be'emes. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what's the pri, what's the fruit? What do your actions yield later, not only right now? And it's up to each person who has a lev mevin. You have to have a discerning and a knowing heart, like last week's parsha. A lev ladas. Moshe Rabbeinu says, only today, out of Yom Hazeh, now you got a lev ladas. Usually knowledge is in the head, feelings are in the heart. But Moshe says you get knowledge of the heart. Near the Masudas Hasharim echoes, lev mevin, a heart that is discerning. V'seichel nachon. Ki yafshar levar apratim she'en lam keitz. He says, I can't give every example. We can't anticipate every scenario. But you just need to know, don't live for what feels right or righteous in the moment. Live looking to the future. What will be the consequences? What is going to emerge or come out? What does Hashem want? V'Hashem yitein chachma b'piv da'as usvuna. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give chachma b'piv. He also quotes here, the Balei Musar say, Hashem yitein chachma, that a person who acts in a yashar way, person who is committed to be a yashar type of person, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a special siyata d'shmaya. Bechezkel Levenstein would say, "Adam yashar motze es haderech." If you're a yashar person, you'll figure out the right path. You merit divine guidance and divine wisdom. But it means that in every moment we say to ourselves, "What will give Hashem nachas ruach? What does Hashem want me to do right now? What does Hashem want me to do right now? Not what feels or looks righteous or religious necessarily." He also may not want me to cop out and not do what's right or righteous. But a person has to, in every moment, ask themselves, what will give the greatest nachas ruach to Hashem? What will make Hashem happy and proud? What does Hashem want me to do right now? And a person who lives life through that prism and asking that question will merit the divine inspiration to come to the correct conclusion. And then he ends this perek, perek chaf, by telling us the severe case that happened to Rabbi Tarfa, the Gemara in Brachos. What position one should be in when they say Shema. And Rabbi Tarfon was machmer lahatos ke beshamay. He said it in a leaning, reclining position. And he was attacked by a band of robbers because he compromised his position to follow the opinion of beshamay. And Chazal didn't say, "Ay Nebuch, we should send flowers or candies, let's visit him in the hospital. Ay Nebuch, he did something so righteous. He tried to be strict like Beis Shammai, and look what happened." You know what they said? He deserved it. Okay, I'm not saying we emulate that exactly. But he said he deserved it. Why? Because he violated the words of Beis Hillel. Okay, but he chose to be strict. He chose to take on a chumrah. Isn't that noble? Isn't that righteous? The answer is, the truth is that this dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was very heavy. It was a very, very vociferous debate, dispute, was very strong, and we concluded they passed him like Beis Hillel. Ki yuma shel Torah shigmar din ze yishar b'kotochav la'ad l'olamim. And the halachic system necessitated following through on its conclusion, which was that we passed him like Beis Hillel. And to take on a stringency that can publicly undermine the process and the system of halacha was an affront not only to Beis Hillel personally, but actually threatened the whole halachic system. So the bigger chumrah was to be mekel. The bigger chumrah on preserving the halachic process. The bigger chumrah on avas Yisrael to Beis Shammai. The bigger chumrah on a kavod for Talmidei Chachamim was to be lenient, not strict. The bigger chumrah, the bigger stringency was to be lenient, not strict. Rabbi Tarfon chose to be strict, which was a leniency. And this should serve as a guide to see the path where the true and faithful light resides for the sake of doing what is right and righteous in the eyes of Hashem. To always ask ourselves what will give Him nachas ruach. With that, we conclude Perek Chaf. Perfect timing, the end of the year. Next year, we'll start with Perek Chaf Aleph. Happens to be next year is next Wednesday. Next year, we'll start with Perek Chaf Aleph. Living with Amunah, 8:45. Tonight we're going behind the bima with Judge Dan Butler. We'll prepare to go before the big judge by talking to a human judge and a remarkable person. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy. Have a fantastic day.